Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Secret Artists. Finally, someone has had the guts to do a podcast. It's me, Annie McGrath, and this week I'm joined by Olaf Falafel, comedian, artist and author who is known for his brilliant illustrations and award-winning jokes. Olaf chose for us to paint a row of bourbons set against a blue and white dotted tablecloth. We always post a photo of our muse on Instagram at Secret Art Pod, so you can paint along whilst listening. Or just eat biscuits, depending on what your vibe is. It was interesting speaking to Olaf, as he's actually been teaching art to kids throughout lockdown on his web series Art Club. So definitely give that a watch if you have children or are a child. On this episode, we chat about painting, animation, teaching, TikTok, biscuits, and lots more. Bon appétit!
Olaf Falafel is a fantastic surrealist, comedian, author, and illustrator. His comedy has been described by The Scotsman as quirkily eccentric, and by The Evening Standard as absurdity so well crafted that silly doesn't do it justice. He was awarded Dave's Funniest Joke of the Fringe at the Edinburgh Festival last year. And I guess given that the Fringe isn't happening this year, that you're the sort of reigning
rollover.
Yeah. Double win for you.
2 years in a row.
Olaf has written and illustrated 4 children's books.
Yeah.
I've done my research, but then I just was unsure whether it is four, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is four, but I'm working on 2 at the moment, so it feels like more, but yeah, it's 4.
Oh, great. And then during lockdown, Olaf has created a weekly web series for kids called Art Club, where he teaches viewers how to draw and paint different things, sloths' faces, for example. It's cut together with jokes, fun animations, and it's very silly. I know Olaf is an excellent artist, so I'm very excited about having you on the podcast.
It's great to be here. Nice bit of fun. Rather than telling other people to do art and stuff, I'm doing it with someone else, which is nice.
Yeah, so how have you found doing the web series?
The first one was great, and I put a load of effort into it, and then I kind of sat back and it was great. People were watching. I think I had 400 people watching live. So they go live at 11 a.m. on a Monday, but then they stay up forever. So if you want to watch it live, you can kind of be on this like live chat with me, and it's basically just kids saying, "You're so good at drawing. How are you good at drawing?" And I'm like, "You too can be good at drawing. Just practice." But then
that
it stays
sounds like
online.
Nicer feedback than adults tend to give on chat forums online.
Yeah, I don't get many. The one thing that I did get was some adult who follows me on Twitter. He decided to join in on the live chat, and it's all kids on this live chat. A lot of them using their parents' YouTube handles. But this one guy who was clearly a grown up just came on the live chat to slag off my setup. He was like, "What mic are you using? You should be using a better mic than that." He goes, "I'd invest in some lighting." And this was my first one. And I had
actually Stuart, our producer, who was trolling
me about my tech setup. But it is quite ramshackle. But I did invest in a big round light because I've heard my girls told me that's what YouTubers have. It makes their eyes go bright. So I've got one of those.
I'm amazed they know that. How old? They're sort of 11 and 9, are they?
11 and 9, yeah. But, God. They're just so much more grown up than I ever was with things like that. Although I have found, as we've been going up the park quite a bit, they're not quite as rough and tumble as I was, because I was always getting into like scrapes and falling over and grazing my knee and just they like won minor graze, and they're like, oh, this is the worst thing in the world.
Oh, really?
I was up the hospital every other week with like stitches or
yeah,
they know about tech stuff, but they don't know how to take a good punch.
Well, yeah, they are young girls,
But no, the first one was a lot of hard work, and I kind of sat back and sort of reaped the rewards. And then I realised, it dawned on me, you said you'd do this every week. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, you've shot yourself in the foot making it a weekly show.
Yeah, and it's tough. It's tough. It's tough to keep up the momentum and keep it fun and different each time. And it is hard work because I film it on a Friday. And mm-hmm. I spend Saturday and Sunday editing it. And then if I've written a silly song or if I've done like some animation, that always has to be done somehow squeezed in. So yeah.
Yeah.
Good fun though.
It's great. I love it. So I think it can be for adults as well as kids.
Well, the parents quite like it because they kind of shove their kids in front of it and go off and do stuff for... Although it's a half-hour episode, I squeeze in like five different things. Like this week, we did a drawing of a robotic otter. obviously, we always tend to feature an artist mm-hmm. in the show, so we do like a one-minute artist bit where I do like a little animation that kind of does a really quick biography. And it was Barbara Hepworth, the sculptor.
Oh, nice! You did a Magritte
sculpture
as well, didn't you? Do a Magritte?
Yeah, did a Magritte. Yeah,
apple
the apple, the son of man, but I changed it. So I did a version where I put a rubber duck and then I kind of challenged the kids who could make it more surreal, and people were putting in a lot of poop icons, underpants, bananas, teapots, and all sorts of really funny ones. The kids were great. That's the one thing I found is that their imaginations are just like brilliant.
That's great that you've made it so interactive as well.
Yeah, I try and do it so you don't have to follow. I always say that I'm only giving like an example of what you could do. And in fact, it's even better if you kind of personalize it or make it unique. I do like a two-part drawing. So the robotic otter, we started that at the beginning of the show and then we finish it off at the end. And I always try in that two-part drawing to put a speech bubble in. And I think mine was holding an atomic corn on the cob. And I said, yours can be kind of brandishing any kind of weapon. And mine said, open wide and eat your veg. It's like a little kind of, almost like a threatening kind of villain saying.
Yeah.
And I always encourage them to put in whatever they want theirs to be saying, and you get so many funny ones. That's the best bit for me, is seeing all of their ones with how they've changed it and how they've personalised it.
Yeah. And do your kids sort of help, or do they inspire you in terms of...
Oh, yeah, yeah. All the time. They come up with stupid ideas. I'm like, oh, yesterday I thought, oh, it's Wednesday, what am I going to do for this Friday's two-part drawing? And they're like, I think one of them suggested a pirate. I was like, yeah, a good pirate, it needs to be stupid, what kind of pirate? And they're like, pirate parrot. I went, yeah, that sounds good, kind of rhymes. So this week I think I'm doing a pirate parrot with an irate carrot, like an angry carrot and a pirate parrot, just because it's
perfect.
Stupid. So yeah, they helped with that. And they I kind of get the kids who are watching it to comment on the YouTube with jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are like really old jokes that I've heard, but you get some really good ones. But I think,
do you say that? Mate, I've heard that before. That's a bit hack.
I can't say that. But if I hear the, why did the baker have brown fingers? Because he needed a poo. If I hear that one more time, I must get that suggested about 10 times every week. I mean, it's a great joke. And
it's a classic.
I set myself up, I think, really, because I feature three jokes and I do a little animation to go with them, and I kind of say the joke as well as, I think the first week I had, what's brown and knocks on your bedroom window at night? A poo on stilts.
Have you ever had a kid who's done something that you think is objectively better than what you've done?
Yeah. All the time, pretty much every episode, there's a kid who will do something and I'll be like, I should have done that.
Like, why is that shit? And it ends with you having a breakdown and them having to reassure you.
I've added quite a bit of white into mine. I got the brown straight out and was like, wow, that's not Bourbon brown.
Oh, you've got your well, brown, have you? I should have actually. I think I've got brown paint, but I never think to use it.
I've got a couple of browns. You can mix. I remember when I was in art school, you used to mix your reds and your greens. I've got
that's good.
Three browns there. One of them is quite a sludgy green, raw umber. My raw umber looks more like a snail's shell. I've kind of done a bit of a mixture of all of my browns and then added some white.
Nice. Well, I've actually mixed my own brown. I'm actually quite happy with the colour of that. You did a brilliant painting for my exhibition before Christmas when we did the Art by Comedians exhibition. Yours was one of my favourites.
Thank you. That was a really great exhibition you put on. The amount of brilliant comedians you got involved to do some art, and then also the amount of great PR you got. But no, I really enjoyed it. Thank you for
It was
asking
fun.
Me.
And also, so many good comedians, but also who are actually genuinely good at art. I think beforehand people were like, oh, is it going to be shit? Like, no, people are actually really good at painting and drawing and sculpture. Yeah. Anyway, yours was what was it called?
Called Mr. Onion and his prize-winning Graham. And it was basically a guy, I don't know whether his name was Graham or not, but he looked like a Graham. And he was a farmer, or not a farmer, he was like one of these amateur vegetable growers. And he'd got a prize-winning onion in like a local village fete or something. And he was proudly holding it up. And I'd taken that and taken the onion out of his hands and swapped the onion with his head. So it looked like an onion person had grown himself a prize-winning Graham. Hence, Mr. Onion and his prize-winning Graham. And it was kind of stupid, but...
But it was stupid, but it was also beautifully painted.
I listened to your podcast with Alex Horn yesterday, actually, as I was kind of... I knew I'd be coming on, so I listened to his one. And his painting that was in your exhibition was probably the one that I regret not buying, because I really liked it. I think he described it as being a bit, a bit... not very good. I really
it was,
liked
but
it.
But
it
was everyone, that was what was interesting about people think that comedians are like super confident and resilient. But when it came to the exhibition, everyone was so anxious about having their work on display. But his painting, it was brilliant. The Full English Breakfast.
With the actual cutlery.
It was actually another comedian, Steve Hall, who bought his in the end. So you just
missed out. Nowhere to go to steal it.
Nick it, yeah. Have you approached the shadows of the Bourbons yet?
No, I'm literally just blocking in the flat colour at the moment, trying to get that looking good. And then I think once I've got that somewhere near, I'll...
lovely.
That's kind of where I'm at. But yeah, I've not done any background yet.
Much more systematic than I've been, just splodging paint in random places.
This is quite a geometric thing. So I want it to be, there's my printout underneath. I've printed out the photograph underneath.
I feel like with the shadow, it's one of those image tricks, where you have the colour next to it.
Oh, yeah, and it's actually green or something like that. It turns out that your eye thinks it's like a dark brown, but actually it's red or something.
The mind trick.
Yeah, I always try, that's one of the things, I always try and look for what the actual colour is rather than what your eye is trying to trick you into saying it is, because you think, oh, it's a brown biscuit, it should be brown, but hang on a minute, mine actually looks quite blue, so I'll probably use some blue in it. But
I really want a Bourbon.
If only there was no lockdown and we were doing this in person. I've got three packets. What I'm hoping to do as well is make a little video. I like to make lots of silly videos online as well. I don't quite know what it's going to be yet, but I think it's going to be me using these Bourbons, setting them up like it's a domino rally type thing where I line them all up and then knock the first one over and then they all go like that. But the idea that I've got in my mind is that I can somehow make it. Do you remember in Scooby-Doo when they'd run along a hallway and it'd be the same objects going past?
Like
a really long hallway. I've got this idea of lining up all these Bourbon biscuits, knocking over the first one, and then watching them all kind of topple into each other, but get it to a point where I can cut and loop it so it goes on forever. So it almost looks like I've just got a line of ball. I don't know whether I can do that or not, whether it's, you know, kind of give the game away, but I did a good video like 4 or 5 years ago. It was on Brighton Beach, and it was kind of a clickbaity type one. I videoed my feet walking along the pebbles on Brighton Beach, and the video lasted for about 15 seconds, but I'd managed to get it so it could loop perfectly, and you couldn't see. It was when you play a video on, I think it was on Vine at the time, or Twitter, but it completely looped. And I think I put it up with the headline is, "You'll never guess what I see when I get there." And it never gets there, because it just is my feet walking on the beach looping.
And the amount of people who sat,
the amount of people who sat and watched it forever until they realised that I was kind of conning them. But that's kind of what I want to do with this, is just have the Bourbons toppling over forever.
Like a metaphor for lockdown.
For life, yeah.
For life. Vine was a great medium. What's happened to that? Is TikTok the new Vine?
TikTok is the new Vine. My kids are into TikTok big time.
I feel like I'm too old. Are you
I'm on it. I'm on it. So kind of mixed success. I had one. It's with all of these things, you never know what's going to go viral or what's going to, the people are going to like. Weirdly, my one kind of viral on TikTok was in Brighton again. And I've been thinking, it was kind of more to do with a stand-up routine. And it was to do with, if brunch is the meal between breakfast and lunch, what would you call a meal between breakfast and brunch? Brunch. And then what would you call a meal between breakfast and brunch? Brunch. And then what would you call a meal? And basically I then cut it with, there's like a bit of a meme that the kids love, which is the SpongeBob kind of 2,000 years later, where the SpongeBob, they would have that come up. So it said 2,000 years later, and it was just me going brunch. But no, I think there's about 40 brews. And that was, I did that on Brighton Pier, like out in the open. I pretended I was asking myself the questions, and I was kind of turning the camera around as though I was doing it to myself, just thinking, oh, it's really silly. And it ended up getting like watched by over a million people. And
only on
TikTok, on no other format did anyone think that that was in any way deemed worthy of.
Did you put it on Twitter as well?
I put it on all of them. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, Friends Reunited.
Bebo.
Bebo, yeah. But yeah, for some reason, TikTok really liked that. I think that's the weird thing, is you're not quite knowing. My kids will say to me, oh yeah, TikTok will go mad for that, Dad.
It's so weird, isn't it? You can put something on Instagram and it gets nothing, and then you tweet it and it explodes. You know, one thing I've noticed that is now really annoying me about the Bourbons.
What?
They're all the right way up, saying Bourbon from the bottom to the top, apart from the far right one, which is upside down.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just wondering, is that intentional?
No, but I like the fact that I've done it subconsciously like that.
How many Bourbons have you eaten today?
Today I've only had 1.5. And there's the other half there, which I'm saving as a little treat.
You're very well trained in not swearing.
Yeah, I try not to. I've sworn a lot more in lockdown, to the point where we were discussing having a swear jar in the house.
Oh, really? Just for you?
No, me and my other half. She's northern, so she swears a lot. sorry, any northerners, but you do swear a lot.
Don't worry, we don't have any northern listeners, don't worry.
You don't, yeah, you've blocked them. So we were discussing whether to, well, we were saying about having a swear jar, and then we were discussing what swears would be worth what money. Because the thing is, I've kind of taught the kids all the good swears, so they know what not to say. And obviously the C, Although my youngest didn't know what the C word was. So I taught my youngest the C word during the lockdown. So, you know, good parenting.
Sort of defeats the point of the swear jar if you have to then go through all the swear words.
And explain them all, yeah. But I just think it's better to know what they are rather than kind of shield them and think that everything's all kind of sunshine and roses.
Do you think either of them want to do anything creative in terms of their career? Are they into comedy or art? Or are you hoping they do medicine?
It's one of those things. I don't really care what they do as long as they're happy, which is, sounds quite cliche, but I mean, completely true. I wouldn't push them into anything, but I think they are because we're both quite arty.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of exposed them to that as a viable option for something to do. So I wouldn't be surprised, and I wouldn't discourage. But if whatever my youngest wants to be. I mean, it changes all the time. I think she says she wants to be a unicornologist. I don't know what Meldis wants to be. Wouldn't surprise me at all if they wanted to do something quite arty. You know what? I'm going to go and start doing my background. Sod it.
I've really fucked my background. Sorry. Oh. Swear jar.
No, the fuck. I think we did all of the... So there's fuck, fuck, fucking fucked. We did all of the kind of derivatives of the F word as well. They're all 50p's. Oh, we were trying to work out whether bloody... What's your opinion on bloody? Is bloody a swear word? I don't think it is.
Not really.
My other half thought it was as bad as shit. I don't think it is. I mean,
I think it's used more casually, isn't it, than shit.
Yeah. It's one of those words as well that has another proper meaning that you can... viably say it, and
that's
good. I'm trying to do my background now. That's not the right blue.
It's a really difficult blue to get because it's very pale, but also quite purpley. Warm.
Yeah, glad.
I keep going too cold with it.
I think I've had a bit of this pink to it. Wonder whether that will help.
And do you have much art around the house? Do you own any art?
There's a big painting that my other half did that's behind me, which is the backdrop for Art Club.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, whenever you watch that, there's a big kind of red and yellowy kind of building painting that she did when she went to Italy. When she was at school, they went on a trip to Florence. Painted that. And then, there's loads of art around the house, mainly stuff the kids have drawn and... I've drawn. I've got a wall. It's got a load of album covers that I've drawn. I'll show you. Do you want to see that?
Yeah, I'd love to.
I'll quickly move this projector screen out of the way. There you go. So I've got all of these.
Whoa, very cool. They're quite different in style to your paintings, those drawings.
Well, they're black and white. Probably a bit more illustration, rather. I used ink brush pens to do those, which a lot of my kids' books, I use those. I need a bigger brush list. Sorry, I'm doing my background.
Yeah, background is very, very difficult. Yeah. And I sort of started trying to do the spots as they are, but then I've just done them a bit more randomly because I lost patience.
Yeah, this background colour is not good, but I think we'll...
What's your favourite medium, Olaf?
Plasticine.
Is it?
Yeah, I did. I used to use. So when my eldest was born, that's looking a bit nicer. When my eldest was born, someone bought her like a plasticine set. And if you know plasticine, it's really quite tough. And so I started using it and I found it was really nostalgic, the smell of it. And I started making almost like portraits using plasticine, so flat on the ground. And I started making portraits of the crap Star Wars characters that no one remembers. So everyone remembers like the famous ones like Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker.
The Phantom Menace.
There's a load of really rubbish characters that are only in it for like 5 seconds before they get an arm chopped off or they blow up in a spaceship. So I thought, oh, it'd be really cool to... I say really cool. to make these kind of Z-list Star Wars characters that no one normally... And I made them out of plasticine, and it kind of went a bit viral before viral. So this was a bit about 10 years ago, but like The Guardian featured it. And
oh, nice. Yeah, I was going to say, I bet there's a massive market for that sort of quite niche, quite geeky.
Yeah, I think that was it. It was the fact it was very niche and very geeky. It's the kind of thing that nowadays people would absolutely lap up.
Yeah.
In fact, I should just do it again, pretend I've just done it.
Did you sell them?
Quite nice. Yeah, I made them into little books, and I did a little story for each of the characters, sort of complaining, bemoaning the fact that they never made it big, whilst R2-D2 is like, or Chewbacca are like household names. They kind of never made it big. So I did a spread on a little book. On one half, it had the plasticine portrait, and then on the other half, it had like a little quote from them sort of saying how hard done by they've been or what they've been up to ever since Star Wars. Yeah. So they're like washed out bums type thing, or alcoholics, or they've got like running successful. I tried to reimagine what their lives are like after Star Wars. And yeah, I was selling those.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you have a favourite artist, Olaf?
I like loads of different artists. I really like Peter Blake.
Oh, Peter Blake, yeah.
The sort of English pop art. I guess this is kind of like in a way that it's kind of taking I guess it's a bit pop art, really, isn't it? Painting a pork and biscuit and arranging it in a row. but yeah, he used to do a lot. He obviously did the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's cover, but his paintings he did I really like, where he would do like a portrait of someone wearing badges and do the little badges and do the little slogans on them. And yeah, just kind of like they're almost like illustrations,
yeah,
but it's painting. And I like kind of, I guess I was always a bit into 60s stuff when I was at college, and I think he kind of appealed to me. But we went to see the Hockney exhibition like ages ago, and I really liked all of his iPad stuff.
And I kind of he does stuff. Amazing stuff digitally as well as his paintings, yeah. Doesn't he?
The last thing, I do quite a lot of, as well as doing kids' illustration, I did quite a lot of live illustration. So if it tends to be a lot for drug companies, if they're having like a conference somewhere and it's all quite dry and boring, these places like to get an artist in to take visual notes. So I'll have like, quite often I'll have like a big wall by where the speakers are, if it's like an all week a conference that lasts for a week, and I will throughout the course of the week create a mural based on the stuff that they're all talking about. But I did one in November in Berlin, and it coincided with half term, so I thought, oh, I could at the end of it I could tag in a little kind of break and get the kids and my other half out to Berlin. So we did that, and we went to quite a nice little art we are quite, sounds all quite quaint and poncy and middle class, but I do counterbalance it by living in Luton. So,
I thought it sounded super trendy, actually. going to Berlin to do some live illustrations. And
I did that, and then at the end of it, the family come over and we had the weekend there, and we went to this exhibition that was, it was a Picasso being compared to a German artist, and the whole thing was, they had loads of different Picasso works, and they showed them, they displayed them alongside this German artist whose name I can't remember, shamefully, but it was quite cool to see how he was a more contemporary artist, so he was like, I think he was like the from the 90s up to now. And it was just showing how he'd been influenced by Picasso. It's quite fun. And the kids, you know, they're kind of into it. Some of the stuff, they're a bit like, oh, this is boring, Dad. And I'm like, just look at the culture. Absorb it.
So did you go to art college?
I did, but I dropped out.
Which one did you go to?
I went to North Oxfordshire School of Art.
Oh, very nice.
I stayed for 2 years, and then it was during the summer holiday I got a work experience job at a graphic design studio in St Albans, and they basically got to the end of the summer holidays and they realised how bloody great I was and offered me a job.
That's amazing.
And I had to kind of weigh up, do I finish the course, get myself into another, I can't remember how much day it was, but... or do I go and start earning? It wasn't much money at all when I look back on it, but...
But I mean, rare to get offered a creative job like that, especially before graduating.
So I kind of made the decision, you know what? As much as I enjoy being a student, I think I need to earn some money. So I did that, and I've kind of... I regret it in a way, but I think I'd like to go back at some point, perhaps... do like something a bit more fine art rather than graphic design. Although I've always been sort of doing design and illustration, that sort of thing, since I've worked in advertising agencies, and I've always been in that kind of area. But I've never really done that much fine art and painting like this. I don't do it as much as I should. I've watched Better Call Saul.
I've been watching Breaking Bad whilst painting recently, because I've never seen it, so I'm 10 years behind everyone else, but I do sometimes when it gets too like dark and violent, I do think my paintings are actually getting darker.
Oh god.
And some of them are commissioned, so I've had to sort of pause it and, you know, brighten up.
that's just reminded me of my youngest, they were kind of painting the trees, and it's quite a big park near us. Mm-hmm. And they were painting the trees and the sky and like the daisies on the grass and that sort of thing. And then my youngest just painted, she got the blacks out. I went, what do you need black for? Shouldn't you start with the light? It was almost like that Fast Show sketch. Do you know the one?
Yeah.
She started painting a black sea with a stormy black sky and then some lightning bolts. And I kind of said to her, you're not in a good mood, are you? She went, no.
Sort of thing. If she did it at school, they'd call you guys
they'd probably call social
Have
services
right
in.
At home.
And who is this giant figure here?
So would you recommend Better Call Saul? Because I'm nearly at the end of series 4 of Breaking Bad. And I've been
I like Better Call Saul, I do. I think he's a really good character. It's kind of one of those things where it's a bit different, but kind of similar. I actually enjoy it more than Breaking Bad, I think.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Interesting.
So talking of the kids again, we all watched The US Office.
Oh, yeah.
I was a massive, massive fan of The Office.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd watched The US Office whilst I was, I think there's about 10, 12 seasons of it. And I think whilst I was doing one of my kids' books, I went through all of it. I know I went through Peep Show with my first kids' book. But whilst I'm doing like the 32 pages that make up a kids' book, I can kind of go through a pretty healthy box set just in the background, almost not properly concentrating, not properly taking it all in. And I went through Peep Show with my first book, and I did the whole US Office, might have been two books that But then I thought, oh, you know what? It's quite family friendly. I'll see if the kids like it. And they loved it.
Oh, really?
It got to the point where it was like a treat. Dad, can we watch an Office? Dad, can we watch an Office? And they're not 30 minute episodes. They're like, because of the ad breaks and everything, they're only about 24, 25 minutes.
Mm.
So it gets to the end of one. Another. It's almost like, and the characters in it are just so great. But that's another one. Sorry, to get back to Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. It's almost like sacrilege to say it, but it's another one of those ones where I think US Office, in its own way, is kind of a bit better than The Office.
Yeah, a lot of people do say that. I'm on the fence, but
people would string me up for it, but I do. For me now, it's also got that kind of sentimentality because I've watched it with my kids, and for Father's Day last year, they bought me a Office T-shirt with all of the characters on.
Oh, God, that must be so nice when you realise they have the same sense of humour, or at least appreciate the same sort of things.
Yeah.
I think I'm sort of getting there with the Bourbons. Well, getting there as in it's terrible, but I don't think there's that much more I can do.
That's kind of where I'm at. It's kind of basic. Great. I need to butt up I've got no dots on mine. I've got no Bourbon pattern. I'm kind of literally just blocked it all in. I probably, if I was doing this like normally, not on a podcast, I'd probably spend twice as long now.
You've really nailed the Bourbons, actually, especially the chocolate icing-y bit in the middle.
Chocolate filling. Yeah, I've done it on that one. I'm not perhaps quite as happy with some of them, but...
Really good.
This
is what I've done.
Wow! Oh my God. See, that is good.
It's much looser than yours.
It is much looser, but I like it for that.
And what I mean by looser is worse.
No, it's much more expressive, I think. I think expressive rather than... Mine's a bit more cold and Germanic, whereas yours is a bit more passionate and Mediterranean.
Oh, thank you. Going back to the roots.
There you go. That's the real biscuitology.
Quick fire round. Romanticism or modernism?
Modernism.
Straight lines or curves?
Straight lines.
Portrait or landscape?
Portrait.
Broccoli or cauliflower?
Cauliflower, because my other half does a really nice cauliflower and chickpea curry.
Ah, your name, chickpea.
Yeah.
Oil or watercolour?
Watercolour.
Bourbons or custard creams?
Bourbons.
Looking at art alone or with others?
I'd say alone, but I've had lots of nice trips with the fam.
He's worried about getting abuse getting afterwards, aren't he?
Yeah.
Are films art?
Are films art, definitely. Yeah.
Hummus or falafel?
Falafel.
Can you separate the art from the artist?
Ooh, well, that's good. You can if you stick googly eyes on him.
Tortured artist or rational astronaut?
Rational astronaut.
Talk about or think about art?
Ooh, do it. Do art. Talk about or think about art.
Do art is a good answer. Haven't had that
before. I prefer do art. Yeah, do art.
Look at a painting close up or further away?
Further away.
Private view or view of privates?
View of privates.
Painting from life, landscape or still life?
Still life.
Art or tech?
Ooh, mine, because a lot of my art is a bit techy. So I'd say probably a bit both.
Art or books? Again, both for you, probably.
Yeah. Books is the bread, art is the jam.
What's the butter?
The butter is money. I don't know.
Which brings me on to my next question. Art or food?
Food.
Is what you do art?
I think it is. And that's all that matters.
I think it is too. First kiss?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the cinema. No.
And finally, dicks or pussies?
From an art point of view, I think dicks. From what I want to stick mine in, pussies.
The perfect ending, you know, to a very otherwise family-friendly podcast. So now we review each other's work and we're going to give each other a grade for commitment, technique, and final overall grade. So I'm going to start with yours. It's absolutely beautiful. You've perfectly got the colour of the, what's it called? Tablecloth. And you've got all five biscuits, unlike mine, which only has four. The angle of the bourbons is perfect. The decreasing size as the perspective draws them away, you've nailed. I love, as I said before, the middle bit of the sandwich of the bourbon. So technique, I'm going to give you an A star because I can't fault your technique at all. Commitment, I can't see one single polka dot on that tablecloth. So no. I'm afraid you are losing marks on that, but that's it really. So an A for commitment. And overall grade, it's a high A, so it's bringing you up to an A star overall.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, I don't think they do that anymore. I think it's a 10. What are the whatever. Yeah, it's brilliant. I love it. And oh, I love the ambition of the fact that you're going to stay up all night to work on it.
I'm not blowing smoke up your ass when I say I love it.
Can you see it?
It's like, yeah. And I love the fact that you've just gone in there and you've just done it as you see it. And you've not, I've kind of worried about being precise with mine and wanted, because I'm quite meticulous. And you've just thought, right, this feels a lot more from the heart, whereas mine feels a lot more from the head. And so I'm going to give yours, I'll give it an A.
Oh, thank you.
It is a bit of a weird one. I didn't know what to pick, whether to pick a, I wanted to do something that was a bit more modernist and a bit more kind of pop arty, but have a silly kind of...
It was great. It was conceptual, but also beautifully staged and composed.
So I'm hoping when it's finished, it'll have a kind of a modernism.
Yeah.
I'm doing a time lapse, so I'll send you that as well. So.
Oh yeah, great.
Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, then please give us a lovely review. And if you want to see mine and Olaf's paintings, then follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Secret Art Pod. Check out Olaf's website and social media for more of his work. He's at OFalafel on Twitter and at OLafFalafel on Instagram. No idea what his real name is. I have a website for my paintings, which is amcgrath.art. I'm also selling some limited edition prints and Christmas cards. What? It's October and she's already talking about Christmas. Yeah, deal with it. All right, have a lovely week. See you next time. Goodbye.
Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.